One additional word regarding growth in our church. I want to welcome any of you. You have creative minds. The session is would welcome letters if any of you have suggestions along the lines of what we creatively might do that wouldn't cost money to help handle the blessings of the Lord. And if 4,000 of us got our heads together, I think things could happen. So please feel free to write. Everything will be read and considered. Would you bow in prayer with me now as we ask God's blessing on this time? Lord, we ask your forgiveness for those of us, and I guess it's all of us, who have our built-in mechanisms by which we judge each other. I pray that today we'll turn down our dials when we discover how you feel about us and how you treat us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen again to this verse of encouragement. I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about loving each other by serving each other, about opening ourselves up so others can serve us, and about entering into partnership with a few Christians who will share our journey as we dare to make some approach toward bearing the image of Jesus Christ. Today we would consider now ways that God loves us. We love each other because he first loves us. Let's consider specifically what it means when God expresses his love for us and how we might better express our love for him. The greatest demonstration of divine love is this word, God's amazing grace. And grace is his decision not to deal with us as our sins deserve. Grace is God's willingness to accept us where we are today with all of our foul-ups and sin and brokenness from this last week. And to accept us as unfinished and a willingness to accept us where we are, spill over his grace, his forgiveness, and remake us into a new beginning, into a new creation. Grace is God's decision to allow us time to grow to spiritual maturity. Now that's good news. That's more than a lot of us as parents do for our children. It's certainly more than we often do for each other in the congregation. Paul expresses divine grace in this verse that I want to paraphrase for us Menlo Parkians this morning. I think it's the same message, but put through Gerber's computer. I'm so glad God isn't finished with any one of us yet. He loves us in our brokenness. But happily, he loves us too much to leave us unfinished. As we journey together, one day we will all bear the image of Jesus. And until then, let's keep encouraging each other, forgiving each other, being patient with each other in our inconsistencies. And then let's hold on to that hope that eventually all of us will see one another as God originally intended us to be before sin got in its licks and distorted that image. Hallelujah. Experiencing grace and hope for change is what I believe being loved by God is all about. You see, in spite of who we are and what we are, if you're here in church this morning and if you're a Christian, you can dare to hope for growth and new beginnings in your spiritual life. And if you're not a Christian, today, through receiving Christ, you can have a brand new beginning. Your past can be put behind you and you can leave here a new person. Sounds strange, but it's true. And so let's expose ourselves to God's grace, to the incredible hope that one day, in spite of our foul-ups, we're going to become everything our Heavenly Father had in mind when he first thought of us. The psalmist tells us that God knew our unformed substance before we were even in the womb. How many days we had on this earth. What incredible knowledge and love God has for us. Look at verse 6. It tells us that God, and not ourselves, is the one who energizes us for the journey toward becoming a new creation. And that's a process that begins the day we accept Jesus as Savior. But it only begins like a newborn babe. It's not finished. Because it's a journey, divine love doesn't demand instant perfection from believers. although usually we do. We even demand it of ourselves. God only wants a desire to seek godly goals for our character development. And the desire leads to the reality with the help of the Holy Spirit. But it's important for you to remember, if you want to be encouraged, that the process of becoming new takes a lifetime and really won't be completed until we're all in heaven with Jesus. Now, being confident that God loves us so unconditionally should be very good news for those frustrated by attempts to, quote, live the good Christian life, but knowing inside we're not making it. For those sitting on the sidelines waiting to do ministry until they feel qualified, and 10 years later you're still sitting because you still don't feel qualified. And good news for those attempting to love other Christians, but who haven't made peace with the fact that your machine that defects deficiencies is turned up too high. So every Sunday you go around here looking for a friend and you just don't find any because the buzzer goes off. We haven't made peace with the fact believers are in process and that no one here that I know of is perfect. Accepting the fact our Christian life is a journey and knowing that God does not demand instant maturity from anyone does not free us to go out and sin boldly as if God has no standards and we can just go live it up. No. Being free in God's grace frees us to boldly surge ahead in making new attempts at spiritual growth, no longer frightened by possibilities of failure, false starts, and broken promises. Because our Lord deals with us in grace and not judgment, we don't have to sit on the road paralyzed by guilt and fear. I've said it before, I want the Holy Spirit to grind it into our cranium. Grace means failure isn't fatal in our relationship with God. Mistakes don't make God go away or give up on us. We're conditioned by our past to believe that's how love works, but that's not how God's love works. When we feel discouraged and guilty about a lack of progress in our Christian walk, be assured God isn't discouraged, and He hasn't thrown up His hands in despair. This verse is the good news of having the security that God has started a process in our lives toward making us perfect. And you know what? One day, we will be. One day, the Bible says, we will be perfect. Now, I think that's incredible. And some days, I can hardly believe it, but it's really true. One day, we will be everything God originally designed you and me today in spite of all the damage we've done to prevent that from happening. And you and I are experts on what we've done in our past to foul up God's best for us. And grace says, no matter how big the foul up, His grace is more powerful to cover it up and make us new. So our first point about God's love, let's begin to accept ourselves as people in process, leaving room in our church family for failure, for growth, for new beginnings, and for opportunities to receive grace. I want to build a short bridge from this good news of God's grace to our attitude about each other here on a Sunday morning. A constant potential for discord and disunity in any congregation is the high expectation level we place on other Christians, coupled with bitter disappointment when someone doesn't measure up. Buzzers go off here in our hearts all morning long on any given Sunday morning as we put out our probes and test each other's orthodoxy. Failure is too often fatal in relationships between Christians, even though it's not fatal in our relationship with God. And brothers and sisters, the Scripture says this ought not to be. I wonder how many dead relationships you have in this church, killed by sin, because you allowed it to die. Christians must not lay a trip of expectation on each other that God doesn't lay on us. Rejecting each other because we don't measure up is to deny the very forgiveness and grace that gives us hope to face another day. If God didn't give that to us, where would we be? Because God lavishes grace on us, let's give more grace to each other. Make it part of our new church year to be more patient, more understanding, offer more encouragement, and less judgment. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Try to think in your heart, if someone falls, the battle they must have fought before they fell on their face, rather than saying, "Oh, I suspected that all the time." May the Holy Spirit remind us that it's God's responsibility to change people. Our job is to love, encourage, and exhort each other along the journey. That makes for a happy family. It makes for healthy Christians. It makes this the place, as I mentioned last week, where you'd want to come if you fail, rather than the first place you'd avoid if you can't measure up to perfection. Now look at verses 8 to 11. Those give us a blueprint of the future character that God is under construction making happen in our lives. And Paul offers specific areas where we can dare to pray and have an expectation that it's going to happen. These things you can become. They aren't pipe dreams. We can expect our love to abound. That means overflow. To get less myopically involved with ourselves and more aware of the needs of others. We can expect our love to be undergirded with knowledge and discernment. That's important. Knowledge means that we dare to come up close enough to know what's going on in another person's heart. That's why sharing is so important. If someone has a need, then I can know, and I know how to relate and how to pray. But then discernment is the ability to use our knowledge of a person's need so we don't do the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or put it positively, so we do the right thing at the right time. Knowledge and discernment makes our love grow up, so it's more than this gushy emotion where we simply hug each other and say, "Praise the Lord." That's a beginning, and I love it. But that's only a beginning of Christian love. When it's combined with knowledge and discernment, it means we dare enter each other's lives, get into the private recesses there, and grab hands and take the journey together toward becoming and holding each other up during the long process of failure and sin and mistakes. And then look at verse 10. We can literally expect to reach such maturity that we will begin to approve what is excellent, living lives of increasing purity as we bear the likeness of Jesus. Holiness is a possibility for any disciple serious about spiritual growth. It isn't a necessity so much as it is an opportunity to become holy. Let me close by expanding on this last point. Our family and our very short morning devotions are currently, I emphasize that because my boys are brain damaged and have on any given week morning, they have an attention span of no more than 2 minutes before breakfast. But we have time to read a commandment. And there are 10, so that's 10 days worth. And we're reviewing the 10 commandments, which are basically God's roadmap to holiness. We learned again how God's command to be holy is not an expression of his blind power, holding us in subjection, robbing us of all the good things in life that otherwise we want to do and they would be so fun if we could do them. God is a Father who loves us, and every one of his rules are warning signs posted to keep us out of pits of destruction. And I'm not convinced many Christians really believe that. I believe that we still wish God would change his mind on some of those rules. And if he doesn't, we're going to break them anyway. And then we can come for grace the next day and get covered up anyway. So, you know, two great possible worlds. We can go play and then come back in church and be forgiven. The problem is that playing is deadly. It isn't that God won't forgive. It's that we're going to get scarred and wounded and cut up because we're not smart enough to believe God's only trying to protect us. When God calls us to holiness, he forbids nothing except that which will destroy our happiness, our health, our homes, our peace, our joy, and ultimately life itself. And my question to you people and to myself, do we really believe that? And if we do, it opens the door to us journeying toward holiness rather than carrying it as a burden that God just stuck us with because we're a Christian. So here's the message of our text in a nutshell. Christians are disciples in process, whose life is a journey. And on that journey, we're sustained by the security of knowing we're accepted and loved and forgiven by God and, hopefully, each other, so that every day is the mercies are new. We have the hope one day we're going to reach the goal of being all God designed us to be. We're not always going to be imperfect, but it will be God's Spirit within us that accomplishes that miracle of change, not our own efforts. The qualities of character that will appear in us as we draw closer to the likeness of Jesus are, and listen, we'll be lovers of people who love with knowledge and discernment, and we will increasingly seek to live obedient, holy lives that stand in contrast to the impurity of secular culture. As we proceed with our journey, we're aware this world is not our final home. Christians are pilgrims, called to build the kingdom of God here on earth in a hostile environment. But in hope, we look to that day when our Savior will return to reign as King of His kingdom and to establish righteousness forever. So be encouraged. That's the word this morning. No one is perfect in this place. God isn't finished with anyone yet. And as pastor to people, I say, thank God that's true. Because it means then there's room here for all of us. And above all, there's hope for all of us, no matter where you are. Just a word of conclusion to have nothing to do with this sermon, but all my sermons. The session and certain dear people this year have begun to pray for this preacher and all preachers, even while I preach, so that my energies can go to preaching and not being uneasy in front of this huge crowd. Let me let you know that after 2 weeks, I'm feeling those prayers. And it's really a blessing to know that people are praying so that this sermon, this service can happen. And it's a miracle to be undergird by people who love you. And so another 20-second sermon. If you have an area in your life that you aren't winning the battle alone, tell some other Christians about it and let them pray for you. It works miracles. And to God be the glory. Amen.